This event was recorded live as a part of Cleveland Council on World Affairs Foreign Policy Forum, Election 2016. Dr. Syed Hussein Mousavian of Princeton University joined us to discuss Iran and the U.S., the road to peace. Please visit ccwa.org to learn more about our upcoming speaker series programs.
Thank you very much. It's really great honor for me to be here tonight. I appreciate and thank all board members of Cleveland Council on World Affairs. I was asked to talk about Iran and the U.S., the road to peace, although I wrote a book, but I should say really this is the most complicated road you can ever imagine on politics. Let me begin with January 2016, Iran and the U.S. We had four very important events. The first one, of course, was the implementation of the Iranian nuclear deal. My friends told me Ambassador Tom Pickering was here September 2013. It was practically the first time Iran and the U.S. actively engaged on direct negotiations at the highest level after 36 years. It was September 2013. Iranian nuclear crisis began 2003. 10 years of negotiations failed because the U.S. was not directly involved. And within less than 2 years, we could reach a deal. I would say one of the major reasons was direct negotiations between Iran and the U.S. Thanks God, the deal is done. It prevented a potential possible war. And I believe the implication of the deal could be far beyond Iranian nuclear issue, because this is the most comprehensive agreement ever made on proliferation during the history of nuclear, last 60, 70 years. We have NPT, Non-Proliferation Treaty, but despite many countries are member of NPT, we had proliferation. Some countries like North Korea could withdraw from NPT and make bombs. You can be member of NPT and you can deceive. Every proliferation expert, they know very well the fact. But the reason the deal took so long and State Secretary Kerry once had to stay for 18 days in Europe, non-stop negotiating. To my understanding, it was really because they were defining a very, very comprehensive package, which I believe it is, if it is going to be regionalized in the Middle East, definitely this is the only way to create nuclear weapon-free zone in the Middle East. It has defined the most intrusive inspections. It has defined limits on heavy water, on enrichment, which definitely can be and is the best objective guarantees on non-diversion toward weaponization. It was a win-win deal. I believe each party got two major concessions. For the US, for the world powers, they got all objective guarantees possible to assure that Iranian nuclear program would remain peaceful forever. I'm not going to go to details because this is too much technical. And also, they got the most intrusive inspections ever a member of NPT has been committed. This is too big concession Iran accepted to give to the world powers. Also, the world powers, they gave, I believe, two major concessions to Iran. Lifting sanctions definitely was one of the big issues. And second was recognition of the legitimate rights of Iran for peaceful nuclear technology, including enrichment. This was number one issue, practically implemented the deal in January 2016. The second development was swap of prisoners. During the time, high-level diplomats, they were negotiating on the nuclear. Besides, they were also negotiating on possible exchange of prisoners. But the second unprecedented event we had after revolution 1979, it was quiet, off the record, confidential negotiations between the security establishments of the two states to resolve the prisoners' exchange. And the second one also succeeded. The day nuclear deal was implemented, the same day the prisoners were swapped between Iran and the US. The third one, it was unintentional, I believe. It was the fact 10 American sailors entered Iranian water territory. It was a clear violation of international law, no doubt about it. But because of very friendly, active contacts between John Kerry and Javad Zarif, Iran and the US, they could resolve this issue with less than 15 hours. And the sailors, they were freed. And the fourth one was resolving peacefully a financial dispute between Iran and the US for 37 years. Iran, it was about the US owning Iranians for military purchase before revolution. And ultimately, they agreed it was $400 million Iran paid before revolution. With the interest altogether, they agreed to pay $1.7 billion to resolve these financial issues. These four in 1 month, this is really unique. Not only in Iran-West relations, on Iran and the US. It could be a good sign about positive developments between Iran and the US. It can be a sign about potential, positive potentials for further progress on Iran and the US. But let me mention another four negative issues. January 2016 on Iran and the US to make a balance between positives and negatives. First was exactly 2-3 days after the implementation day of the nuclear deal, the US administration imposed new sanctions on Iran because of missile test. If anyone has questioned why, later on the question and answer, I would explain why. The second was, it was really surprising to me that, and perhaps many people, the governor of Texas publicly declared that they are not going to implement the deal. Although by Texas rules, regulations, they have to lift the sanctions if the US government is lifting, but publicly they said they are not going to implement it. It would create a question on the Iranian side whether they can negotiate and agree with the US if the US president, US administration agrees. Then the states, they can decline. Whether we can trust the US to make the deal or not. And the third was about the US Congress non-stop is trying to introduce new legislations sanctioning Iran. They tried their best to block the nuclear deal, and they failed. You all know the story. Now they are going to run another way to undermine the deal with introducing new legislations sanctioning Iran under the umbrella of human rights, terrorism, and etc. Here again, Iranians would think whether for other disputed issues, if they are going to make a deal with Iran, are they negotiating with one United States or they are negotiating with two United States? If they agree with the administration and the Congress, they can change everything. And the fourth one is what you are watching every day, the presidential candidates, Republicans and Democrats. They all are trying to convince American public opinion that they would be tougher than Obama on Iran. This is the race between the candidates who would be tougher. Republicans are saying that they would stop the nuclear deal. Therefore, here is again a big question for the Iranian side, whether they can count on engaging with the US or not. Of course, the big issue is mistrust. And if we are going to talk about the road to peace, perhaps number one issue would be how to address the mistrust between Iran and the US. The most hostile states, perhaps in contemporary history. I believe this has been Iran and the US. I don't really know any other diplomatic relations so hostile in such a long period for almost four decades. You have heard, of course, for 36 years why America cannot trust Iran after Revolution 1979. But I think Americans also need to understand why Iranians, they cannot trust the US. It's a mutual issue. It is not one-sided. There are a lot of reasons. I'm not going to go to a history of mistrust to US from the Iranian side. It's a 2 hour speech. But I would mention just some of them in order to give you an idea what is the Iranian problems. It began from 1953 when Iran had a very popular elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, and the US and the UK orchestrated a coup, removing the popular elected prime minister, and they installed a dictator. And for 25 years, the US supported a dictator, corrupted dictator in Iran. After revolution, Saddam invaded Iran, and the objective of his invasion was to disintegrate Iran. It was not really about regime change. And unfortunately, the U.S. supported the invasion of Saddam. Saddam used chemical weapons, killing and injuring about 100,000 Iranians. Would you imagine material and technology was provided by the U.S. to use chemical weapons? After the war, I have explained in my book many episodes, events, that Iran tried to show goodwill in order to resolve the problem, perhaps during President Rafsanjani, during President Khatami, even during the conservative President Ahmadinejad, all failed. In 1988, the US Navy shut down an Iranian civilian airline, killing 290 passengers, including 66 children. And the commander of a ship attacking the Iranian civilian plane was awarded by the US president. Iranians are very much concerned about the U.S. support, unilateral support for Israel, undermining the rights of Palestinians. It is really a big issue for, of course, many all Muslim countries, but Iranians are so perhaps sensitive about the rights of Palestinians. When we are coming to proliferation issues, Iranians, they see the U.S. establishes strategic relations with those countries proliferated, like India, Pakistan, Israel. They are not ready to accept non-proliferation treaty. They develop the bomb, but the U.S. establish strategic relations. From the other side, the U.S. impose sanctions on Iran, which has been and is a member of NPT, does not have nuclear bomb. Can you see the double standard? The first objective of non-proliferation treaty is this dismantling of nuclear weapons. Neither the US nor the other world powers have dismantled their nuclear weapons for 40 years. And worse, all of them almost, they are investing to modernize and expand their nuclear weapon facilities. It's a very clear violation of non-proliferation treaty for 40 years. This is 7-8 examples. I can give you about 30-40 examples. But the reason I say is that the U.S. also needs to understand why Iranians, they cannot trust the U.S. This is not just illusions. This is a reality, a history before revolution, after revolution. The war costed Iran 1 million people. They were killed or injured, over $600 billion damage to Iran. All of the issues are really serious, big. The second, if we are going to understand the Iranian side, is the fact that for two centuries, Iran's sovereignty, independence, integrity have been under threat from superpowers and regional conflicts. It is a fact. This is about 200 years. That's why Iranians, they're very sensitive about domination or interference or influence of foreign powers in their internal affairs. According to the third issue about the Iranian proud, Iranians, they are a very proud nation. And there is a reason, a big reason. According to Professor Arthur Pope, you may know him, he's one of the best famous known Orientalists. The first human civilization is the Persian civilization. It was ahead of Egypt by 500 years, ahead of India by 1,000 years, ahead of China by 2,000 years, of Greece by 3,000 years, of Rome by 4,000 years. Therefore, the US politicians, they really need to understand when they are talking with such a nation, they cannot talk with the language of threat and humiliation. This is what Americans, they are used to for 36 years. And it's really difficult for them to distance them, to speak with the language of respect. The reason the nuclear deal, we could reach to the nuclear deal, because John Kerry was negotiating with the Iranian counterpart with the language of respect. And if you ask John Kerry or Javad Zarif, really it is, when you threat Iranians, they become immediately aggressive. And the notion of threat, bullying, definitely has been counterproductive for 36 years, making Iranians more aggressive. Should I repeat it? It is really true, because it is really true because the American politicians won't get it. That's why if you can repeat it, that would be great. Okay, I said the first important issue, of course, Iranians also, they need to understand Americans. I'm writing op-eds, interviews in Iranian media, and I explain why Americans, they have problem with the Iranians and what Iranians they should do. But when I'm talking here in the US, of course, I have to talk with Americans. The second, as a roadmap to peace, is for Iran and the US to be responsive. Obama made a speech on the implementation day of the nuclear deal and publicly said Iranian leaders, they were very responsive. Whatever they agreed, they implemented on time. No failure. Neither IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, nor the P5 plus one ever complained about any failure Iran had after September 2013. Whatever they agreed, they had 3-4 deals. It was not one agreement. I'm really worried whether the US would be able to be responsive because of the Congress, because of the Republicans, because of some hawks in Democratic parties, Democrats, because of AIPAC, and because of many other issues you know better than me. The next issue for the US is because those opposing engagement with Iran in the Congress or the lobbying, they want to bring a setback on Iran-US relations to go to the maximum level of confrontation and to create international consensus again. But the reality is that it's impossible to repeat an international consensus again on Iran. And Iran's integration with the international community is set to become irreversible. Because of the crisis in the Middle East, which we can discuss later if there is a time, and because the crucial role of Iran, and because now the US and the West understand their main problem, as Joe Biden, Vice President, said last year at Harvard, he said our main problem is with our own allies supporting terrorists. Now they understand where is the main problem. They have been blaming Iran for many, many years on terrorism. But now they open their eyes, they see ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, Jabhat al-Nusra, Boko Haram. Every day they create something. But they are all coming from one school of thought, Wahhabism. And they know very well the source of ideology, the source of fund, and the source of weapon. It was said by Friedman at New York Times that ISIS has a father, which is Saudi Arabia. And Hillary Clinton also, it is revealed that in one of the meetings in 2010, she had said that Saudi Arabia is the number one source of terrorism. Therefore, they know what they are talking about. However, this is a fact, that on the road to peace, Israel and Saudi Arabia, they have done everything to block this road between Iran and the US, and they would do. There is one difference in Tehran and in Washington. If Iranians, they decide to do something, there is no problem about foreign interference on Iranian foreign policy decisions. They may have dispute domestically, but if they decide to do something, no foreign power can interfere. But when we go to Washington, everyone understands how Israel interferes, how Saudi Arabia interferes, how much money they spend. This is a fact we have to find a solution. I think the US administration needs to talk very clearly with those who are going to block Iran-US engagement that the US national interest should not be jeopardized by other countries. If the US national interest is to engage with Iran, Saudi Arabia has no right to interfere. Because Obama said also on the implementation day that decades of confrontation has not served the US interest. They understand very well. After 37 years of coercion strategies, war, military war, political war, economic war, covert war, overt war, sanctions, unilateral, multilateral, now Iran is the most stable country in the region. If one of these sanctions was supposed to be imposed on Saudi Arabia for 1 year, you can imagine. Therefore, you can see the difference, I mean, the potential of a nation. Of course, Iran and the US, they have major differences, no doubt about it. They have been able to resolve the nuclear crisis. It's a big success for diplomacy worldwide. But they have perhaps much more difficult issue, I believe, would be Israel. But they have other problems on Syria, on Yemen, on GCC, the US allies in the region, even on terrorism. despite the fact there are some commonalities on ISIS, but there are differences about Hezbollah, about Hamas, about the other groups. We cannot hide the facts. But we need to seize the opportunity, to use the opportunity of the current level of dialogue and negotiations between Iran and the US to negotiate and to decide to resolve as much as we can the disputes through negotiation. And in parallel, I really believe the best way for Iran and the US for confidence building would be to cooperate on communalities. At the same time you are negotiating on the differences, in parallel, you can cooperate on communalities. There is no major issue between Iran and the US on Afghanistan. They have been supporting the same administration for more than a decade. Iran and the US, they have been supporting the same administration in Iraq for more than a decade. Iran and the US practically have agreed, even if this is an unwritten agreement, about the political structure, how to manage crisis in the countries in the Middle East. What is the political structure in Afghanistan? The rule of majority. Pashtuns, Sunnis are majority. Tajik, Shia, they are minority. Iran has supported from the day one the rule of majority in Afghanistan. President is Pashtun Sunni, and the second position is for Tajik Shia. The same structure for Iraq. The rule of majority in Iraq, Shia is majority. But the president of parliament is Sunni. The president of the country is court, Sunni. And Iran has fully supported, and the US has supported. And I believe this is a correct, right structure to resolve the other crises in Syria, in Yemen. The same structure Iran and the US, they have experienced in Iran, in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the nuclear deal now has opened the doors for Europe, China, Russia, for lucrative economic projects. I really do not know why the US is going to stand aloof and sacrifice its own interest winning lucrative economic projects with Iran, while Europe, China, Russia, India, all other countries now are racing for. And while Iran is open, I mean, Iranians, they have no problem for US companies to engage. And business always is a good way to go for confidence building. Really, this is a right way, good way to go. At the end, Ambassador, I think you told me 25 minutes. I would say for the future of Iran and the US, while we have already high-level negotiations, and while we have many issues of communalities, I mentioned some, drug trafficking, there are other issues of common interest between Iran and the US. While we have major issues of differences, I named some of them. But we need four principles for Washington to understand and to respect when they are negotiating with Iran, and also the same for Iranians. Number one would be diplomacy. Forget the war. I mean, the Saudi notion is attacking Iran, attacking Syria, attacking Yemen. They are looking after war. But really, we should look, the nuclear deal says diplomacy works. We should not forget Obama and Bush administration, they both said Iranian nuclear crisis is issue number one to national security of the US. When number one issue as a threat to national security of the US could be resolved through diplomacy, why we cannot solve the other issues? The second is mutual interest. It's extremely important because Iran and the US have never worked closely on their communalities. Always they have been fighting on differences. And the third, as I said, is mutual respect. And the last is the principle of non-interference, specifically about the Iranians, scaring of the US again dominating Iran, like domination of 1953 to 1979. I would stop here because we need 20-25 minutes for question and answers.